Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to see you all here. And I want to just recognize the fact that I want to thank you all for your prayers. When I think about getting up and giving a message, I realize that it's not just me preparing, it's also you preparing your hearts and praying that God would lead. So this morning I'd like to just focus on the idea of sowing and reaping. And the text I'd like to begin with is Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 to 13, and then also 20 to 28. And if you want to turn there, you can follow along. Genesis 1, 11 to 13 goes like this. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. So you'll notice on the third day, and then also on the fifth and sixth day, let's read about the fifth and sixth day, starting in verse 20. Then God said, "Let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abounded according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, and everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created He created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And then down in verse 31 it says, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day." So God is the one who designed the principle of reproduction, or the principle of sowing and reaping. On the third day and on the fifth day, God created the plants, the animals, and man. He designed them to reproduce themselves. When he was finished, he put his stamp of approval on the process, Genesis 1:31, and God saw that it was good. If you look at creation, the way it's made, you'll notice that there is planting, there's sowing, there's reaping, there's planting, there's harvesting. And I'm one that loves to watch what grows. When I'm here, I don't actually plant much because the time doesn't fit. So we don't get the tomato plants and the sweet corn and the peppers and some of the things that I would all, and potatoes and sweet potatoes and all the things that I would grow back home, carrots, and we just don't see them grow, but I see them in the grocery store, so somebody did it. And then the other thing I watch is along the side of the road. First, when we come back from in June, usually we'll see the foxgloves, and then we'll see they're growing nicely. And then there's rose bay willow herb. And then there's the white ones that are fluffy. Meadowsweet. Yeah. I love to watch them grow. And then there's what, the rose bay willow herb is also called fireweed in other countries. And so it's these things that you watch grow. There's loosestrife is growing really nicely right now. And you watch these things, and these are things that reproduced. And they grew because of the law of sowing and reaping. Now, some of the sowing didn't get done by people. It just gets done by God's moving air and birds, and they plant the seeds. Now, there's another kind of sowing and reaping that happens. And it's the kind of sowing and reaping that we do in our lives. About 3,250 years ago, or somewhere around there, I don't know exactly, I'm not sure exactly on that, there lived a man. He was a cruel, powerful man. He was a warlord, Lord Lightning. He didn't care about anybody but himself. He didn't care about how people felt. The way he treated his prisoners showed what kind of a man he was. As I said, he was cruel. Many times he hit the warpath. I imagine he struck swiftly and decisively. Many times his raids were successful. He treated all his victims equally. 70 kings were defeated by him. How do you think he treated them? They'd come into his presence. He'd say, "Give me your right hand." He'd cut off the thumb. "Give me your right foot." Cut off the toe. "Give me your left hand." Cut off the thumb. "Left foot." Cut off the toe. Then he told them, "Now when you get hungry, come crawl under my table. I'll throw you the scraps." Cruel man. He was the boss. They might have called him Boss Lightning. His name meant Lord Lightning. His name was Adonai Bezek. Adonai means Lord. Bezek means lightning. It might be connected to the worship of Baal, because whenever the worship of Baal had actually, there was a lightning bolt that was associated with Baal. The day came when he was old and slow. Someone faster than him came along. They captured him. They cut off his thumbs and his toes. Throughout his life, he didn't show mercy. He didn't act like God. He was not a godly man, but he understood the law of sowing and reaping. He understood God. Maybe he understood God better than some Christians understand God, because I think we don't think about what we sow, we're going to reap. Judges 1:5-7 goes like this. "And they found Adonai Bezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites." This was Joshua. "But Adonai Bezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him." Sorry, I said it was Joshua. It wasn't Joshua. It was people that came after Joshua. "They pursued after him, caught him, and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adonai Bezek said, 70 kings, that's 70, having their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered their meat under my table. As I have done, so God has requited me." And they brought him to Jerusalem, and there he died. It's kind of a graphic example of the law of sowing and reaping. But it's accurate, it's true, it's a historical fact. There's a lot you can think about. I prefer thinking about the positive side of sowing and reaping. When you sow good, you reap good. But there's also the truth that he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap, and I'd like to hear you say it, shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You all know that. And obviously, because you wouldn't have repeated after me. But he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So the Spirit of God wants us to learn to sow right things. There are about 7 laws that somebody's come up with. They call them the law of the harvest. Maybe you could call them the law of sowing and reaping. One of the laws of sowing and reaping simply is you reap only if you sow. I mean, if you aim at, you've heard me say this before, but if you aim at nothing, you're going to have perfect, you're going to have perfect aim and perfect success every time, because you'll just always hit nothing. Because if you aim at nothing, you hit nothing. But if you sow something, you're going to reap. You reap only if you sow. That's the first law here. And there are some scriptures that go with that, and you can think of more than what I have written down here. But one of them simply is, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And if you go out and you become friendly to people, then you end up reaping friends as well. It is just a simple fact. But if you don't do that, then if you always keep to yourself and you wonder, well, why aren't there any people coming around and being my friend? Well, how many people have you befriended? It is just one of the laws of sowing and reaping. You do something and something results from that. So I think it's important to show genuine interest in other people. Be a good listener. The people that are good listeners usually have more friends than those who are good talkers. And I find myself way too many times doing the talking, and then first thing I know, people start, well, they lose interest maybe. And if I listen to them and start understanding what people are interested in, then you kind of open up floodgates sometimes. You hear a lot of things. But you need to be a good listener rather than always doing the talking. Second law, you reap the same kind as what you sow. You don't go out and sow a soybean seed and expect to see maize or corn come up. Whatever you plant, that same kind of thing comes up. I mean, this is simple stuff, but I think it's good for us to continue to think about it. How do we operate in our lives? What are we planting? And then sometimes we wonder, why did that happen to me? And then you think about it. Oh, maybe it's because of the seed that I sowed back then. It's coming back to me now. So there's a lot of things you can think about. What did you sow? What kind of seed did you sow? And why are you getting that same seed back? You think, well, it's just simply a law that you need to follow. You're not going to get something different from what you sowed in the beginning. As I said before, Galatians 6:8, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Going to the next one, number 3, you reap according to the area that you sow. If you're going to just go out and sow a 1 square foot of seeds, that's the amount of area that you're going to have to reap. If you go out and you sow larger areas, that's the same area. You reap according to the same area that you sow. And how does that apply in daily life? So Matthew 13 talks about it's the parable of the sower. And sometimes people call it, I'm trying to remember what the other one is, but let's just call it the parable of the sower. Where the man went out and sowed, and he sowed seed, some on good ground, some on stony ground, some on thorns and thistles, And he sowed seed on different kinds of ground. And some actually fell by the wayside. So you reap according to the area that you sow. Now, it's amazing to me sometimes to see where plants are actually growing in Ireland. They'll seemingly grow right out of the side of rocks. I don't know if you ever noticed that or not, but if there's a tiny little bit of soil and there's a tiny little seed and it can grab in there and it can start coming out with. So let's not hesitate to sow seed, but let's also try to sow it where it needs to be, in the right places. Number four, you reap according to the population that you sow. So back in America, we have discovered that in certain areas you want to raise the population. Now when I say population, we have soils that vary. And soybeans especially, if you put a lot of seed in the ground that's not so good, you're better off. But if you put a lot of seed in the ground that's better, then they grow too thick. And then guess what happens when there's too many seeds there? There's more disease because the plants can't breathe. So we actually have devices on our planters that will sow more seed on the more fertile ground and less seed. I mean, more seed on the less fertile ground and more seed on the less fertile. I said it. In other words, I can picture it in my mind. The yellow dirt, I'll just say it this way. The yellow dirt gets more seed and the black dirt gets less seed because that's how it works. Now, a maize is the opposite. If you have good black dirt, you want to put high population on that because, I mean, we can go up to 36,000 seeds per acre and it will produce a good crop. But then if you do the same thing to the yellow dirt, to the stuff that's not as good, then it can't support it. So, because there's not as much rain there. So it's important to put the population at the right place. So you reap according to the population that you sow. And that's, if you put more down, generally in good conditions, you get more. I was looking for some scripture verse that would point that out. But there is the idea of being generous. And when you're generous, I've said already, it never, ever hurts a person to be generous. Long term, you might think generosity hurts, but no. Generosity always is a blessing. Because somehow, God's shovel is bigger than our shovel. So if you give sparingly, you reap sparingly. If you give bountifully, you reap bountifully. Number five, you reap many times more seed than you sow. Now, in some cases, you wish that wouldn't be true. In other cases, you're very glad that it's true. Guess when you wish it wouldn't be? It's when I sow wrong seeds, I don't want so many seeds to grow. But a lot of times, it grows more seed. That's just how it works. So Hosea 8:7 says, "They have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." You sow the wind, and you reap the whirlwind. It's a sad situation, but that happens. But you can also, it's also good to realize that God has designed it that you get a lot more. If I put one maize seed, one corn seed in the ground, I can get up to 300 seeds out of that one seed. That is multiplication. That is amazing. Soybeans, you plant a soybean seed, you might get 50 or 60 or 70 seeds out of that one soybean seed. The different seeds do different ways. But the bottom line is you reap more than what you sow. And that is how God designed it. That's how God designed for us for the world to grow. And God is able to take care of the extra people. I'm always frustrated when I hear of people saying that the world is going to get way overpopulated. Let's just drive around a little bit and see how many pieces of land are actually not being used to produce food on. There's so much more that could be done with what we have already. I'll just leave that one. So number six, you also reap in a different season from what you sow. A different season. Cast thy bread upon the waters. And what does it say? You shall find it after many days. We always, it so happens that we sow seeds and then we let them, and I don't get to watch them grow like I enjoy watching them grow, but we're here now, and the only thing I know is when my son takes me and shows me pictures of what's growing. Well, what we've put in the ground on May the 1st is now already taller than I am. This is June the 1st, July the 1st. It's 2.5 months later, and that maize has grown to the point where I could be hidden in there. And it's just amazing how fast things grow. That's not really a play on words, but it is a play on words. When you think what the corn actually, the maize actually does. And that's also the one that produces up to 300 more seeds for one seed. And it feeds a lot of people. You reap in a different season from what you sow. So it's important to be patient. It's important not to get impatient. Why is this growing taking so long for this thing to take? Well, think about it. It takes time for that. And if you think about all the, like, it takes a certain amount of time for a pheasant egg to hatch. It takes a different kind amount of time for a robin egg to hatch. It takes a different, all of these things take different amounts of time. It takes different amount of time for an elephant, for gestation to happen, an elephant. And it's just different. God has created it all differently, but it's in a different season. It's in a different season, and we need to remember that. So be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord, because there is a time when you will reap if you faint not. I was looking for this verse. It says, brethren, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. And so it's important not to just give up, not faint, but to keep on remembering that as we sow those seeds, they will grow. And it's been my privilege not just to see seeds being sown in an earthly manner, like out in the fields, but to see the seeds that are sown, that we've sown in our lives, and see them start to grow in other people's lives. That's really worth something. When you know that you have that a seed that you planted, and people, it's already happened that I happen to know that it was a seed that I planted, or I think it was, because they repeated back to me something that I said some time ago. They didn't know where they learned it, but that's satisfying when you know that something comes back to you and it's taken root and grown in a person's life. Did I say number seven? God is the one who gives the increase. Sometimes we have to remember That's the bottom line. God, Paul said, I plant, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And we're in a situation where we're not doing all the work ourselves, but it's God who's doing the blessing. And that's why we need to praise God and thank God and give honor where honor is due. And I didn't even think about it till now, but I meant that when I said thank you for your prayers, because some of your prayers have resulted in giving inspiration to what I actually was inspired to preach this morning. So we're not just here all by ourselves. We are part of a community. We're part of a body of believers that as we love each other, as we care about each other, we will pray for each other, and good fruit results from that. Just a few other thoughts that I have here. Leonard Ravenhill said, it's in a verse, there's a verse that says in Psalm 126, he that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing. Leonard Ravenhill said, I get calls from all over the world. Everyone wants my anointing and my mantle, but nobody wants my sackcloth and ashes. You hear that? Everybody wants the anointing and the mantle, but nobody wants the sackcloth and ashes. Sometimes it takes sackcloth and ashes kinds of praying. Sometimes it takes a quiet in the back room praying that people forget about. People just want the out front results. But it takes to get out front results, if that makes any sense, you must have some prayer closet, quiet time, and sackcloth and ashes kind of thing, where I'm before the Lord and I pray and I ask and I say, Lord, it's you that needs to bring that increase. It's you that needs to bring. And he that goes forth bearing precious seed, weeping, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Proverbs 11:18, the wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. Don't ever forget to sow righteousness, because there will be a sure reward. Psalm 1:3 says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That is what the righteous man is like. Revelation 5:8 and 8:3. I'd just like to read that to note what happens with our prayers sometimes. We forget that our prayers are important, and we forget that they result in good. Revelation 5:8. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, that is a spiritual picture of what happens when saints pray. Somehow, those prayers are kept, and they result in some, even in Revelation there, it says, the four living creatures, the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Also, Revelation 8, verse 3 says it like this. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. So I don't understand it all. Like I said, this is a spiritual picture. And how can saints' prayers be transformed into incense? I don't know. But there's something of value there that we can take to our hearts and remember that the prayers that we pray don't fall on deaf ears. They are answered. Sometimes with a yes, sometimes with a no, but we need to be recognized that God is the one who chooses at the right time what to answer and when to answer and how to answer. There's another kind of sowing and reaping that happens sometimes. When Stephen was martyred, who was standing by and watching specifically that resulted in a lot of good in the future? When Stephen was martyred?
Paul.
He was there. He had he kept the clothes. But many times I think about it, that I think probably Paul's motivation partly came from seeing how Stephen died, how he looked to heaven with a face that was full of light. And that's great motivation. It was a sad, sad situation. I'm sure he just hated the idea that he was a part of that. But it was motivation for the future. And because of Paul's, the way he sowed, the seeds that he sowed, I have found so much, and I'm sure you have, found tremendous amount of help in Romans and 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and all the way through those epistles that Paul wrote. They're so helpful. So that's the kind of sowing that and reaping that happened that was good, even though there was some sadness involved in it. Many years ago, it was actually the year that I was born, there were 5 men that were martyred in 1956 by the Aka Indians. And there, I'm told that their martyrdom reached into Christian homes all over the world. And because of that, a lot of missionaries actually went into the world because of seeing what happened with Nate Saint and Steve, Nate and Steve Saint. I don't remember all the names for sure right now. Elizabeth Elliott's husband. And what happened there resulted in a tremendous amount of missionary movement, people being willing to give their lives, and people being willing to take the truth into places that were dark and now are full of light. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of salvation is something that God has to plant in hearts. We can tell the story. Every one of us has a story. We can tell the story of what God did, and we can plant that seed, but God is the one who gives the increase. So the gift of salvation is something that gets put in our hearts by God himself, and it can grow. There's a little poem that I have here in the end, and it often goes through my mind, but I did not know that the words are different from what I learned. The words that I learned were like this. In the furrows of thy life, and I can always sing it in my mind, but in the furrows of thy life, scatter seed, scatter seed. In the furrows of thy life, scatter seed. Scatter seed on every side. Send it far and send it wide. Scatter seed on every side. And then the next verse I think was, in the furrows of their life, scatter seed, scatter seed. In the furrows of their life, scatter seed, scatter seed. No, it goes like this. Up the morning flies away, scatter seed. Up the morning flies away, scatter seed. Scatter seed on every side. Send it far and send it wide. Scatter seed on every side. The verses that I found, that go, they go like this, and I'd like to read them. In the furrows of their life scatter seed. Small may be the spirit field, but a goodly crop 'twill yield. Sow the kindly word indeed. Scatter, scatter, goodly seed. The chorus, open then thy golden store. Stretch the furrows more and more. God will give thee all thy need. Scatter, scatter, goodly seed. Sun and shower, aid thee now. Scatter seed. Who can tell where grain may grow? Winds are blowing to and fro. Daily good, thy simple creed. Scatter, scatter, goodly seed. Though thy work should seem to fail, scatter seed. Some may fall on stony ground. Flower and blade are often found in the clefts we little heed. Scatter, scatter, goodly seed. Springtime always dawns for thee. Scatter seed. Open then thy golden store. Stretch thy furrows more and more. God will give thee all thy need. Scatter, scatter, goodly seed. How that gets worked out in your lives, I will let you decide. But remember how important it is, because what you sow will grow. And there will be a harvest to what you sow. And my prayer sometimes is, may the harvest of my bad things be a crop failure, and the harvest of the good things be a bountiful crop.